Thank you, Noah and Emma, for leading our singing and the youth, both of the choirs. Sister Irene, we appreciate your service to the Lord here at the church all these years. I want to say this. I was kind of taken with the youth first message in song, and I wanted to say something else relative to the church. When you praise the church, or people in the church, you're praising the Lord, and I wanted to say that. We are so thankful, as you all know, to be blessed with men and women, young and old, here at the church that love the Lord, but have such gifts, and they're able to share those and bless God in those. I wanted to make it known, and I know this went out in the bulletin email version. Brother Jordan Walker has written a book, Fruit of the Spirit. I know many of you know that. We're just thankful that I talked to Brother Jordan this week over the phone. He said it'd be all right to say something about it, but I know that it's on Facebook, and you can get it from the internet, but Brother Jordan's going to have some copies here as well. But I just want to commend Brother Jordan and his work on that and the ability God has given him, and I know you'll be wanting to look at that. We were also blessed, you remember years ago, Brother Arthur Woodrum wrote a book. Dr. Woodrum wrote a book on God's plan of salvation. And I've encouraged both of those to maybe put them apart down at Bible conference when that time comes. There's a place for literature there. But these things need to be noted. I also wanted to recognize Brother Scott Waters, who is a member here. He and his family preaches the God's Word so ably. We'll be preaching the revival over at Middle Ground Church this coming week. I believe that's Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday night. So go support Brother Scott if you can, and certainly remember him in your prayers. But you know, I just say these things because there's so much that we don't really, and these folks won't recognize themselves. They're not. They're just not made that way. But I pray the Lord will bless us to support them and be certainly thankful as we embrace this local body assembly of God's people together. There's so much gifts and talents here we need to be so thankful for. And I know you are. So I just wanted to say that from here. Thank you, youth. Both choirs, that was beautiful as well. It's always encouraging to see, hear, and be around our youth. I commend the leadership in the church, the youth, and to putting all that together as well. I want you to deal with me in a subject that I pray the Lord will bless us to embrace, and that is creation. I don't know if I've ever dealt with that subject per se in a series, but I feel impressed to do that. Today, my subject is the glory of God in creation. I know the bulletin says the glory of God. I don't know how you would get all that, but I do want to use an aspect of that, the glory of God in creation. And we'll be dealing with subjects like the grace of God in creation, the goodness of God in creation, the greatness of God in creation, if the Lord continues to lead my heart in that way. I do, however, believe this is a most pertinent subject for God's people. And I do also believe it's very, very important and very applicable as we embrace the time we celebrate the death and the resurrection of Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not sure that dealing with the creation would be more preparatory for our hearts for the celebration of the resurrection than even Lent would. But I just pray the Lord will bless us and lead us in this study of God's creation. Today I want to use a text to deal with this first message, the glory of God in creation. Back in the Old Testament, in the book of 1 Chronicles, there is a testament in God's that is older than the Old Testament. Did you know that? And it's called the skies. And they testify of the glory of God. The sky does. Sun and the moon and the stars and all of that. We're going to see that. But as we look at this book, 1 Chronicles chapter 29, I want us to look at the context. I'm going to read some verses. I know I listed only a couple, but I'm going to start reading it at verse 10. It's about praising God. It's written by David, and it's after David's, you know, he can't build the temple. God didn't let him. He sinned. That's why. You ever get in a situation where you can't do something you want to do? Now, David really wanted to do it. Now, see, there's consequences to sin. There's a whole lot difference in forgiveness and consequences. We get those mixed up sometimes. We feel like, well, if I got to deal with this consequence, I really haven't been forgiven. No, that's not the truth. God forgives you of your sin, and there are consequences. David was not able to build the temple his son Solomon was. But I want you to notice, as David deals with this subject, how gloriously praiseworthy he counts God to be. And he ties that in with God being the creator. Now, the theme of what I want to try to say in the next few weeks regarding creation is just simply, it's all God's. It's all God's. And we need to be reminded of that. It's good that it's Youth Sunday, so to speak. I didn't plan it like this, but introduced to creation. You do know that Ecclesiastes, the last chapter, where Solomon's talking about what's important in life, says this: remember now thy creator in the days of your youth. It's important to us remember that. I'd say the youthful part of our lives, that is high school and college, is where you're going to be most confronted with the doctrine of evolution, Darwinism, things like that. I mean, it's rampant. School's teaching this stuff. And that's why we're in such a mess. And I wanted you to see that with me in our world today. Now, politics are maybe have their place. I don't know. But I'm going to tell you what. If you don't get the creation right, you don't get nothing right. You don't. And to realize this is all God's. I think that's why we're so unhappy in our lives. I'm talking about even as Christians. We don't realize it's all God's. Now, I don't know how much money you got in the bank. I don't know how much land you own or how big your house is. But I guarantee you, you might have your name on the title. Your 401k might have your name and all. But I'm going to tell you, it's God's. Those children that you sit beside, that sit beside you, that have your name, they're God's. They're God's. Everything's God's. Now we say, well, what do you? I mean, you know what? You know what creation means? Creation means that something exists that didn't exist before. And so how do we get that? We get that from God. That's where everything comes from. And once we get that, we can go in. And you're God's. You're not your own. You're not. And I think if we realize this, we wouldn't worry so much. I mean, you think about Jesus Christ. Even when he taught about worry, he referred to the creation. He said, look, in so much he was saying, what are you worried about? Look at over that flower. I mean, that thing blooms. What does it do? He said, nothing. It's just the way God made it, okay? He said, don't worry about what you're going to wear, or what you're going to put on. Don't worry about what about that bird over there? You see what I'm saying? I mean, you know, sometimes when we get disappointed in life, we need to, and you have done this, I know you have, and you'll do it more. I mean, what happens? You go to the beach, you go to the mountains, you go to something bigger than you. What does it do to you? It reminds you of the Creator. That's what it is. When you get disappointed. Hey, I remember years and years ago. I was suffering the consequences of sin in a divorce. That's what it does. There's no easy way out of this stuff now. You hear me? And so my two little girls, Ashley and Jennifer, little girls, and I had to leave them up in Virginia, see, 500 miles away. They don't know how many times I cried when I left there. And they did too. I remember driving off in the rearview mirror and seeing their little faces parting the curtains, watching me leave. I remember that. That's what sin does to a person's life. I'm telling you what, sin will carry you further away than you want to go. And it'll cost you more than you want to pay. You hear me? You better stay with God with everything you got. And what the creation is doing is teaching us, look, I'm up there all the time. God's going to make you this testimony. You won't get away from God's testimony of His glory. And He says, you come back to me. But I remember this. I remember this happening up there. This is years and years ago. But I remember I would get back home, And I would call my girls. We didn't have cell phones, maybe. And I remember I got home one night and I was pretty sad, brokenhearted, separating. They'd been with me all summer, you know. And so I remember going outside. It was a full moon. And I told my girls, I called them up. I got them on the phone. I said, look, you go outside and you look at that moon. You see that moon? Yeah, I see the moon. I said, that's the same one I'm looking at. Do you know we're looking at the same moon? That brought us closer together. You understand that? So do you? I mean, you might say, well, that don't make a bit of sense. Might not. I don't know. But to me, it connected. See, the creation. See, God made that moon. God, it's all God's. And so God has given us this creation to rejoice and glorify Him in. And that's the two calls you and I have, to glorify God. It doesn't matter what happens in your life. There's no excuse for not glorifying God. You can let the devil run you under the house if you want to. But I mean, that's where he wants you. You need to get out and glorify God, because God's creation is doing it night and day. It's testifying of God and his greatness and glory. Well, see, David, now, he can't build this temple. But I want you to listen in 1 Chronicles chapter 10. It says, wherefore God blessed the Lord, 1 Chronicles 29, verse 10, before all the congregation, David said, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Even though he can't do something he wants to do. And then listen how he deals with it. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory, and the victory, and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. It's all yours. Heaven, earth, everything. It's yours. Can we say that today? Or do you want to, I want to tell you, if you got so much in your life, so much stuff, and it means so much to you, I can tell you one thing, it's going to be hard for you to die. It's going to be hard for you to die. If this world is all you're holding on to, Don't make it hard to die, okay? David said, look, it's all yours, God. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Now he elaborates on that in verse 12, for he says, both riches and honor come of thee. Everything I've got, David says, comes from you. Same way with God with you. Do you know where your money comes from? God. Comes from God. You say, well, I work for it. Where did you get the strength to work for it? Where did you get the life to deal with it? Where did you get the wherewithal to do anything? Where did you get the work present? God created it. See, we need to understand this more than we do or act like. And he says, and thou reignest over all. Now, that word reignest is present tense. It's happening right now. God's still in control. You understand that, don't you? Right now. This creator God, he's still above all. And in thy hand is power and might, and in thy hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. I started to go on with this. I couldn't stop reading that this morning, but I'm going to stop there for our text. I wanted to try to say three things about the glory of God in creation. Number one is, we take it for granted. We take creation for granted. You might be alive, but you know, you might not really be living. Because when it comes to the creation, what my purpose is, one is that we would open our eyes wider to what's around us, what God. Now, I know this is a good time of the year to do that, because spring. I mean, I was walking yesterday. I walked Penny down to the pond, was coming back, and I was looking at the grass. Stuff is green. I mean, it just seems like yesterday it was brown as it could be. I mean, don't take that for granted. Don't take these blooms for granted, that blue sky or the rain. And all. I mean, only God can do that. Don't take it for granted. Because I'm not sure that our biggest problems in our lives is because we take things for granted. Don't take your church for granted. Don't take baptism for granted. Don't take the Bible for granted. or your husband or your wife or your children or a friend. I mean, don't take it for granted. Your health. Sometimes we just get into this same old rut, you know. We need to have eyes of a child. I mean, my grandson Jackson, a few years ago, we'd ride around in the truck and he'd hang halfway out the window. Now, we on the dirt road there behind the house. We don't like 80 or anywhere. And I remember, he said, "Look, Granddad, I'm drinking the wind." You ever drank the wind? I mean, that's what living is. I'm drinking the wind. My little grandson, Bennett, I mean, his first clear word is see, see. And he'll walk around to see, see. We need to have our eyes open up to what's around us. I mean, to rotten logs and salamanders and worms and fish and smell and taste and hearing. I mean, these things come from God. See, God created a physical world. And we don't need to let that slide. We don't need to take it for granted. We don't need to just drive on the interstate of life all the time. I'm going to tell you, it's hard to find the exit sometime when you want them. You need to get on the back road. You need to get on the dirt road. You need to get and feel the creation of God. We need to get our hands dirty and put our bare feet on the ground sometime. Just touch what it means to be alive. See? But we take it for granted. Now what happens is this causes big, big problems when we take creation for granted. Now you talk about signs. The first seven words of Genesis 1 is the basis for signs. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. What does that mean? In the beginning. That's time. God entered time. God, He's the person. He's the personality. He's the power. He's the one that He has no time. But He created. What does created mean? That's the force. Heaven, space, earth, matter. It's all God. See, there's no signs will take you to God and the true God a lot quicker than lots of religions will. Did you know that? It's always encouraging me when I get to talk to Dr. Arthur Woodrum, who is a scientist, physicist, head of the department at Georgia Southern for years. You get Brother Arthur, he'll tell you that there is a God, and science proves that. And even the world today, most scientists, I understand from Brother Arthur and from what I've read, they look at God as the creator. They might call it the Big Bang, but somebody caused it. It's God. It had to have a cause. But here's the problem that we have when we take it for granted. I mean, evolution means that we're nothing, that we came from nothing for nothing. But see, God has a purpose, and that's what creation is about. You know why you got these people? We walk around our world today, people wondering about, we've got young people wondering about whether they ought to be boys or girls. We got women wanting to be fathers. We got men wanting to have babies. Where does that come from? It comes from a distorted view of creation. You know why? Because here's what's happened. Evolution, Darwinism, devalues humanity. That's why you have these abortion clinics. Man, if a girl can have a baby and it's not timely, why don't you just have, I can kill it, okay? Well, you know, if you don't believe God is creation, that's a lot easier to do. I mean, that's what we do to animals. You have a baby that's deformed. Man, you can just kill it. You know, we lost a baby one time, 2-year-old, and it was a genetic deformity. That's what we're told, something inside the body. And Penny got pregnant again, and they told her, in as much to say, well, you know, you can have a test, and if this one has the same thing, there's a big chance it would, then you don't have to have it. Penny said, I don't care what it is. God gave it to me, and I'm going to have it. And she's sitting right over there somewhere. I mean, it devalues. Euthanization of older people, I mean, that is now done with more finesse in our world than we want to ever think. Probably a lot closer to home than we want to think. Somebody gets old enough, you know, it's just, let's take them out. They're not good for anything. Well, that's what understanding and not the creator of God as it will do to you. And this stuff about transgender is, you know, God created, he made them male and female. That's what God says. Well, you get away from that, then you know, you can, I don't know, maybe somebody might think you ought to be a boy or a girl, it's a girl, it's a boy. I don't know. You see what I'm saying, though? It distorts everything. So it's serious ramifications when we don't get creation right. So what I want to try to say is that with this glory of God in his creation, do not take that for granted, ever. That God made it. It's all his. And he's in control of it. And we don't have to worry about the global warming or all this stuff or some bomb from China blowing everything up. God is, you know, until God, he's in charge of it. And what we're to be, to be stewards of his creation. That's what we're to be of our lives, whatever God's given us, to be a good steward of it. That's what he told Adam and Eve in the garden. He says, you dress and keep it. And that's what you and I are supposed to be doing. Secondly, I wanted to say that the glory of God in his creation is the number one mission of creation, to glorify God. Now, when you get that wrong, and I want to clear something up before I go too far with this. Look at Romans chapter 1. Here's another thing we have gotten in our world today, even in religion, which has become pretty much entertainment focused, and our Sundays, and for general, it's just for recreation more than anything, is because we've gotten away from God being the creator and glorifying him. And what happens is God gives us over to a darkness. The scriptures call it a reprobate mind. I think that we're under the judgment of God right now because of our lack of sensitivity and affection for God's glory and his creation. For example, in Romans chapter 1, in verse 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. That is, God has showed us something. What is it? It's his creation. For verse 20 says, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. See, the Godhead created. God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, all involved in the creation. Because that when they knew God, and here's our problem, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things, and football players, and soccer players, and golf carts, and cows, and dogs. That's what people worship so many places. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. So what happens is, when he's talking about the glory of God in creation, I want us to make sure I'm not talking about worshiping the glory of God, worshiping creation for God's glory. What I'm talking about and what I want you and me to see together is we worship God, or we see the glory of God in His creation. And what His creation is, just like you are a new creation, but that is a reflection of God's glory. It would be about the same. If you get this distorted, you could then worship, you could love the church more than you love God. Or you, if you got a wedding ring, you could love the ring more than you do your husband or wife. See, I was with a man one time years ago, before I was preaching, and we were looking at his beautiful patch of timberland. It was huge. It was pristine. It wouldn't be worth much now, but back then it was. And it was a beautiful place. And I remember driving just he and I in my truck, and he said, "You know, Randy," he said, "I just think this would be the best place to worship, right here in these trees." I never forgot him telling me that for some reason. He was a lot older than I was then. He wasn't from this area. But I remember thinking, now, what is he talking about? What he was talking about is that those trees meant so much to him. He said, "Man, I can just worship here." But that's what people do. People worship in football stadiums now. People can worship in anything, down at the mall. I mean, and what happens, we're stealing the glory of God. We're not seeing the glory of God because all that's God. In them things themselves, there's nothing wrong with that. But what glorifying God is about is making sure we get God right in first place. We glorify God. Now, if you go back to the Psalms, have I been there? I don't know if I've even been to the Psalms, but Psalm 19, you know that one. I wanted to say before I leave this point quickly that the main mission of creation is to glorify God. And in Psalms 19 is a good concise definition of that. We'll be using some other psalm in the study of creation. But in verse 1 of Psalm 19, the psalmist gets right to the point. He says, "The heavens declare the glory of God." That's what the heavens do. They declare it. "And the firmament showeth His handiwork." The earth, the firmament, the lower part. "Day unto night, day unto day utter speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge." Day and night, both are declaring the glory of God. You ever walked out and see the stars at night? And you know, you think about the millions of miles away those stars are and how God hung them up there. The Bible says it was just finger work. That He knows the name of every one of them. God does. And yet scientists are still discovering stars that God has already created. And He says in verse 3, "There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath He set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom cometh out of his chambers, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and His circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof." You see the sun, the S-U-N, is so bright, you can't look at it without damaging your naked eye. And yet by it we see everything else. In a spiritual realm of that, that's how Christ is. I mean, He's so glorious. But by Him we see everything else. We see creation. And I know God has to reveal that to us, and God does that, but don't ever take it for granted. I mean, it's just been a blessing to me. I know it, and you don't have to go to Disney World. You don't have to go to some park or something. You know, I remember over in the nursing homes, I've been to several with folks here in the church, and they would have a little birdhouse right outside the window. Well, you go over there now. Charlene Clutter's one. She's got a birdhouse right there. She looks at creation all the time, she says. I mean, it's all around us. We should keep our eyes wide open. I wanted to go to one more point, though, before you go enjoy the creation. And in Psalms 104, just one verse, and my last point is this. What I wanted to try to say today about seeing the creation, glory of God in creation, not only not to take it for granted, but also to see the main statement of creation is His glory. I mean, that's God gets all the credit. But also that God is glad. Did you know the creation makes God glad? God's happy with it. He loves it. And, you know, that ought to make us happy. Look at verse 31 of Psalm 104. And there's a lot of Psalm 104 we'll have to use in the next few weeks. Just have to when you talk about creation. It says, "The glory of the Lord shall endure forever. The Lord shall rejoice in His works." See, that's what God is doing with the creation. Now, we know that Christ, Jesus Christ, is God's ultimate glory, greatest glory. So then, is there any competition between Christ and God's creation? No. And the reason is, according to Colossians 1:16 and other verses, John 1, we know that Christ was really the main instrument in creation. All things, He made all things. But He and God are one, see? So there's no competition. And this very earth, see, is what God created so that His beloved Son would have a place to come, because it's a place for His people, like you and me. Even though sin was caused us to fall, even though we had that to deal with, it's where His Son would come and die on a cross for you and me, right here on this earth. And even though the earth has been dealing with sin and groans even now, waiting for the redemption, even the creation itself, we know that it makes God glad, it glorifies God, because that day's coming. Christ is coming back. He is. But to know that it's glorifying to Him, we don't have to wait for the millennium to do that. Not at all. We can glorify right now. See, He reigns now in His kingdom. And what a blessing it is to see that, to know the gladness that He gives us to rejoice. Man, it's just a blessing to be alive. I have gotten to where I say that more in my personal prayers to God. Just to, Lord, thank You for life. Thank You, Lord, for letting me breathe Your air. I mean, really, that is a true statement, that the Lord has blessed us so to live in this beautiful world and to be redeemed. Sure, we struggle enough with sin and sorrows in our life and disappointments, but He always gives us something to look forward to. You can look at creation and you can be blessed. That's why there's such serenity. You know, maybe just in a bird. You know, I remember, and I was sharing this with Jennifer a while back. I don't know, it's kind of silly, but you've got these things. I know creation does this to you. Well, I mentioned our son John, who passed away, but I remember when he was really sick and we knew that time was coming, that we, Penny and I and him, just got in my truck and we drove around where I live. If you know where I live, if you go the back road, there's some pretty but there are some places where there's no houses. That's the best place to be, probably. but we call it the Flatwoods, and there's a place you can drive. And so we just started driving. And I remember one day, this is what creation does to you when you're looking for the glory of God in it. As brokenhearted as I was, I remember stopping my truck, and I don't know why. And yes, I do. It was creation that stopped me. I stopped in this place. There was no houses for miles, dirt road. And it was a little cove of cypress trees and on both sides of the dirt road. And there was a brown thrasher sitting on a limb. I can just see him right now, just perfectly sitting there, brown thrasher. And they're hard to see, you know, especially on a cypress tree. But I saw this one. And for some reason, it just brought the greatest peace on my heart. Now, I can't explain that to you. I can't. But you've been through those times, and you've seen that. Maybe it's the way the limb blew, the grass, or a tree moved, or a bird, or a rabbit crossed the road, or something. You know what I'm saying? Now, I think, and I'm not trying to spiritualize things I ought not, but but that brought me comfort. But why? Because I believe it connected me to God being the creator, the one in control, the one that never makes a mistake. Sure, I didn't understand that, but you never, never, ever lose that connection between God being your creator and the creator of all things. I'm going to tell you to make your life a lot easier to live. And when your time comes to die, it'll make it dying easier too. Because God, see, will be glorified forever. And His love is forever. Nothing can separate us from His love, not even death. May the Lord bless us to rejoice and to really recognize the glory of God in creation. I think one reason God gives us children and grandchildren is to keep our minds on creation, to give us the simple things in life that really we should notice more than we do. And I think we'd be happier. And may the Lord bless us to glorify Him. You know, life, even though creation is balanced to the minuteness, finest point, has to be. See, God didn't just create and walk away from it. He sustains it. But yet it's such a simplicity to the way God has laid everything out for us. And He's always with us. So when you see the sun and the moon and the stars, you know that what God is really declaring is, you know, I'm still here. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And the connection that we have with that Creator God is a great blessing. But if we take that for granted, and don't let your children take it for granted, you teach it to them. One thing I have learned, and all my kids and grandkids have been through this, I start showing them the moon. I guess it's so profoundly easy to see. And I say, you see that moon? God made that moon. And it's almost every time, sometime during the day, I know the other day, it was during the day, you know, sometimes you can see the moon during the day. And I don't know if it was one Jackson or every one of them said, Granddaddy, you see that moon? God made that moon. I mean, that's what needs to be in our mind. God made that. Don't ever. I mean, there's people that think you go down to the grocery store and buy food, and the grocery store makes it. That's not true. We know that. But see, we can take things for granted. We have a wonderful God, a creator God, who loves us, who's given us such a glorious place. And you know, one day it's going to be even more glorious. How that can be, I don't know. Heaven and immortal glory, but His glory will never cease, and God always delights in it. His creatures, what a blessing. May the Lord bless us as we say. It's hard to stop talking about God the Creator, but I got some other messages, hopefully, that I can deal with on it, and thank the Lord for His Word. His stars and moon and sun tells us what He's done, but His Word, this book, tells us who He is and who we are too in Him. Would you bow with me? Lord, we thank You for the creation that You made. It's so wonderful, God. Thank You for letting us just have a glimpse of it. Lord, for just a few years on this earth that You made. Lord, You give us everything. You made everything. And Lord, for some reason, we have a human selfishness about us that we think it's some of ours. But we're, Lord, in our better moments, know that it's really not. It's all from You. And Lord, it's good and gracious and merciful. And we thank You. Help us, Lord, not to quirk too much when You decide by Your wisdom to take it away from us. For it was Yours anyway. But Lord, give us the inspiration to know that it's all borrowed. And we're to use it, Lord, like we borrow from other people. We want to make sure we take especially good care of it because it's really not ours. And we want to lend it back to You, Lord, in our dying days in a way that would be our thankfulness to You for the life You've given us. Help us, Lord, to live for Your glory in Your creation as You've made it. Rejoicing and thanking You for it. and praising you as David did. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.